Hey guys, this is Greg Denning, and you are in the School of Awesome Sauce, where I share with you amazing stories and strategies to help you live an extraordinary life. Hey everybody, so great to be back with you. I just got back from a World War II expedition that we lead in Europe, and it was incredible. And actually life-changing again for the people that we led and for me again to go do that. And we fly into Berlin and then go over into Poland and Krakow, and where we go to Auschwitz and Birkenau. Then we drive through Slovakia, we go into Austria and hit Vienna and Salzburg and do the Sound of Music there and just the history through there. Then we go into Munich. And then from Munich up into Prague and the Czech Republic, then up through Dresden and back to Berlin, where we finished with the wall and understanding the wall and the museum at Checkpoint Charlie. And then on the way there, we had a layover in New York City, which was incredible. Went down to Ground Zero and Times Square, had some amazing pizza. And then on the way home, we had an overnight layover in Dublin, Ireland, and got to stay in a beautiful hotel on the coast there and watch the sunrise. It was incredible. But I want to share some of the stories I learned, and I'm going to share some more of them as we go along here in other episodes. But today, the biggest impact that came from this trip last time and this time again is what I want to talk about today. And I'm so excited about it because it's so important and so misunderstood. And the biggest message that I walk away with from this World War II campaign the expedition we go on, but the campaign of the Nazi movement and what was happening was all built around prejudice and this hatred and distaste and dislike and whatever you call this aversion, this enmity. Enmity is this hostility towards or opposition towards other people. And it was, you know, the primary target was on the Jews, but it wasn't only Jews. It was, and you guys know this already, you know a lot of history, but I want to focus in on just the prejudice, that opposition. I think we'll go with that word, enmity. I love that because it's just this hostility towards another group of people. And Hitler had it towards everybody that was what he called undesirable, right? It's kind of the translation of what he would say is the undesirables. And it was anybody who was handicapped, anybody who was elderly and infirm, anybody who had deformities. He really hated the Russians and actually murdered millions of Russians. And they were actually, and in Auschwitz, they had the worst of the torturing was towards them. And he had political prisoners and anyone who raised their voice against him, right? He had zero tolerance for anyone who had a different opinion or view than him, or it wasn't like him. Think about that. No tolerance for people that aren't like him. None. And it just seems so crazy, right? So absurd that anyone that's not like you, right, in any way, shape, or form, that you don't want to have anything to do with them. And then it gradually, and here's the slippery slope. It was so gradual when he was sharing his message. He did it over many, many years. And it was so subtle at first to just separate, right? To get a little bit of separation between you and those people. And you start to objectify them, right? Just a little bit at first. But then it gradually grows to, well, I don't like them. And they're that way, you know? And you start labeling and passing this judgment. You start grouping them all into one category. And you guys, this holds across. It's true for so many things, from politics to rival schools to religions to race to socioeconomic classes, how much somebody earns or where they live or the kind of car they drive or the kind of clothes they wear or the language they speak. I mean, this just goes on and on and on. And what's so powerful is when you're over there and you're in the museums and the memorials, the memorial to the murdered Jews in Berlin and the topography of terror, talking about the SS, the Nazi SS and their campaign. Then you drive into Poland and Auschwitz and Birkenau, especially, where 1.1 million Jews were murdered in the gas chambers. When you stand there in that exact spot where so many families were, they saw each other for the last time in this life and were murdered. And the just the grotesque horror of it all, and just you're just wondering, like, how could another human being do this? Like, how is this possible? And you hear the stories of torture and hatred and abuse and the violence, and literally in your mind you're just, and I'm watching, you know, as I take a group, I have youth and families that come along and parents, and you're sitting there like, how could this happen? How could this honestly happen? And then you hear the stories and you see the progressive nature of what happened, and you realize, oh, it was enmity, it was prejudice. It was objectifying people from one spot and say, oh, well, they're not like us. They do weird things too. They're actually hurting our economy and hurting our society, and eventually working down to their dogs. They're less than dogs. They're just a number. They're not even human. And when it gets to that point where you go down this slippery slope, this gradual slippery slope to seeing other human beings as objects or things, then that's when we can say horrible things about other people and then eventually do horrible things that we wouldn't normally do. You with me? You see where I'm going here? Oscar Wilde, who was an Irish writer, and you guys on the way home, we stopped in Dublin at one of my now favorite places, was the library at the Trinity College. What a stunning place, with 200,000 old leather books in this stunning library with this huge vaulted arched ceiling. Oh man, it's my new happy place. And there was a lot of quotes there, of course, from Oscar Wilde. But he said one time, you guys, and I want you to really ponder this. Let this sink in. It's kind of a challenging quote to wrap your mind around, but once you do, it's profound. He said, morality is simply the attitude that we adopt towards people we personally dislike. Close quote. Whoa. I'm going to repeat it to you. In fact, I'd like to encourage you to write it down and think about it. Morality is simply the attitude we adopt towards people we personally dislike. And that hits home so powerfully, because we can pat ourselves on the back and say we're moral people and we're good people and all this, and we can just walk around believing we're awesome in the context of the people we like and the people we get along with, right? And if we only surround ourselves with people we like and people we agree with and people especially who agree with us and who are like us, and we make sure that we, you know, a lot of people filter that and protect that, and they're like, oh, well, yeah, I'm such a good person. And I meet, this is funny, guys, because I travel all over the world. I meet people all the time who say and do grossly racist and prejudiced things. But when I call them out on it or talk to them about it, they're shocked, because they don't believe themselves to be racist or prejudiced. In fact, they would adamantly tell you they are not, because being racist and prejudiced is wrong. And yet they say and do things that are very racist and prejudiced. And in some ways, it's the beginning part of what we saw in the campaign of the Nazis. So morality, your level of morality, my level of morality, I'm included in this too, is simply the attitude we adopt towards people we personally dislike. So it's not measured by the people we like and get along with. It's measured by the people we dislike. Okay? Like, let that sink in. It's so powerful, so profound. Your level of morality, your moral compass, your measure of the goodness of your heart and soul and your actions and your mind and who you are is measured by the standard of treatment and behavior in your thoughts, words, and deeds towards people you dislike. Whoa. Whoa. Right? And so we have to step back and say, well, if there is a people group of people you dislike, why is it? And does it really matter? And even if it does matter that you take some ground, you just have something you dislike about that group of people, you better find out why. And look at yourself first. Don't look at them, look at you. Right? And I have to say, look at me. If I have a beef with somebody, I have a disagreement or a dislike or something, I got to look at me first. And here's what I've found in all my travels around the world and working with tens of thousands of people from every walk of life, from every kind of lifestyle and religion. What I've found is when I understand another human being's personal story, only then do I begin to understand them. And why they do what they do, why they think what they think, why they say what they say, and why they do what they do, and why they live how they live. Otherwise, I'm just judging from the outside, and I'm usually prejudging, so prejudice. And I have my own misconceptions, my own ideas through my lens, because we're all seeing the world and ourselves and life and other people through our own lens. And then it's not until I understand their story that I go, oh. That's why. And what's interesting is you even come back and understand why the Nazis did what they did. Because you find out how the indoctrination and the pain, because people who are hurting hurt other people. Right? It's hurt people hurt people. And you understand. You ask, well, how could anyone do that? And you go, well, okay, they were totally indoctrinated. Even from there, when they were very little, they were told all these lies and told to see things only a certain way. And then you realize, oh, wow, I was just judging them to be wretched, horrible people, or judging all Germans to be Nazis, which wasn't the case. I actually went to the home of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was one of my heroes and chosen mentors, who fought against the Nazi movement, saw it coming. I went to the Museum of the German Resistance and people who fought back and literally sacrificed their lives and their family's life to fight back. And one of them said, we have to do this so that the world knows that not all Germans are Nazis. Right? And there was a lot of people who were forced to do terrible things. And some chose not to. And because one quote we saw on the trip was that you can either be a slave to other powers, tortured. You can be tortured by other people, or you can be tortured by your own conscience. But you have to choose to do what's right. And then when you understand personal individual stories, you understand why people do things. And so each of us has to look at, you know, some of the comments that are said. And I frequently hear comments about, oh, well, the Mexicans are this way and should do that. Or the Muslims are this way. And, oh, they're like this. And these big blanket statements and these ideas that, well, all Americans are like that. And all Chinese people are like that, right? And it's just racist, prejudiced comments that come out of our mouths of things we've usually been fed from the media or somebody else said something, and we just kind of embrace it and take it in without finding out for ourselves what's true and what's real. Man, that's the absolute extreme importance, you guys, of getting out and having our own personal experiences. And that's why we travel the world with our family. And we go live among the Hindu people in India and go immerse ourselves in, you know, in the culture in Nepal, for example, in Buddhism. And we went and lived in Morocco. And we're deeply immersed and surrounded by Islam and the Muslim culture and the people. And, We lived a couple years in Europe and in Latin America, and we're all over. And every time we go do that, I feel myself just throwing out misconceptions I had, right? You're like, what? I've been told that forever. Like, that was planted in my head, and I believed this all along. It was like totally bogus. Like, there goes that. And every time we do that, we get out and have these experiences, these real life experiences, not the little tourist facade and the mask that they put on, but like the real thing. And you're like, wow. I have to throw that out. And so we begin, each little step, we begin to see more clearly and understand more things. And as we do that, we begin to understand humanity and our human connection to everybody on this earth. And I love to teach that when I'm mentoring or even raising my own children. Like, we have to be able to see people as people and focus so much, my friends, on how we're connected and not how we're different. It's so easy to focus on why we're different and point it out. Well, they should do this, and they don't speak our language, and they don't speak it very well, and they believe these weird ideas about their religion or their traditions, or they should do things differently. And usually it's they should do things like we do things, right? Which, again, that was the whole problem. If we go around judging the world by what we do and thinking that people should do life the way we do life, there's a misconception there. And we step back and say, oh, wait a minute. I'm only seeing it through one small lens. How can I understand people as they are, not as I am? Right? We can't judge people as we are. We have to see them as they are and understand where they're coming from and who they are. And so my invitation today, you guys, is I want to be part of, I feel like I have this moral obligation to raise a voice. And I encourage the people in my group, as we went through and had these experiences, I stopped and said, what are you going to do about it? Because this is happening all over the world. These kind of prejudices and then the enmity, the hostility and opposition towards other people, and even persecution that is sometimes just verbal, sometimes very physical. Sometimes social, we isolate people and we push them away and we create this division and separation and distance between us as human beings, as brothers and sisters on earth here. And so my invitation and challenge to you is to join me in this cause. Join me in this movement to connect as humans, to always see the humanity in each other. No matter what crazy differences we have and weird things, people, there are weird people in the world doing really weird things. But as long as they are not like harming other human beings, and hold up a minute, even if they are, they have a story and they're probably hurt and they're probably misunderstanding something and maybe they've been lied to their whole life. And even good people who do bad things, or even bad people who do bad things, aren't they still human beings? Isn't there still a spark of humanity in there? And can't we have compassion towards the poor decisions they're making and their own suffering that's coming because of it, and have compassion towards them instead of ridicule and hatred and anger and bitterness and enmity? There's that word again. Man, we gotta learn to see the humanity and encourage our friends and our children and the people around us and anywhere we have a circle of influence to have this positive energy, you guys. And we can create this movement. And you and me together can add more positivity to the world instead of the negativity. And we can, when we hear people say comments about other groups, other races, other religion, we can kindly say, hey, well, wait a minute, you know, they're people just like you and me, and they're coming from a different background challenge, and I wonder if you and I had been raised in that same situation, if we wouldn't do the same thing, right? And just bring this different perspective, and we can help persuade and move and create love. And I really want to be a part of the positivity, on the good side of, like, this force for good, right? A great force for good in the world. and that we are pushing back, because all that's necessary, it was Edmund Burke, I think, who said, all that's necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing, right? And so as good men and women, if we sit around doing nothing, then evil just keeps growing. So we can't sit and do nothing and say, well, at least I'm not participating, because there were many stories, like that on this trip, where, you know, they just were passive. And we don't judge them, right? in this podcast episode about not judging, we don't judge them because, you know, their lives were in danger. And if you're sitting there and you have to worry about your spouse and your children being murdered or tortured or imprisoned or whatever, if you even raise your voice or say anything or neglect to say Heil Hitler, right? Whatever it is, like, well, I'm not going to pass judgment because I don't know what they were in, but many did nothing, especially early on. And so evil spread. And there were obviously many who did so much, who raised their voices and who fought back in the smallest ways of kindness and love and gentleness, risking their lives to give a little food to the prisoners and show a little kindness, right? And we can do that. We can have our, do our little part, whatever it is in the world, do our little part to make the world a better, happier place. And I'll wrap up with a quote from Thomas Paine. The way I came across this is somebody was following our websites, and they shared this and said, you guys seem to represent this and live by this. That was a great compliment. It was so kind of thoughtful. This was years ago. And here's the quote from Thomas Paine. He said, "The world is my country." See that? The whole world is my country. Not just one little isolated spot that, hey, we're better than everybody else. And, you know, oh man, I think I need to do an episode on that. We were so grossly mistreated as we go through. And it happens almost every single time. We go through all kinds of international borders and all kinds of places, and people are usually kind and helpful. And then when we come back with American security, they are so mean and just... there's no compassion, there's no kindness, just, and then we're like, oh my goodness, I'm even an American citizen with my U.S. passport here. And oh man, but we can't, you know, no prejudice here, no judgment, just like, what's going on? What, who do they hire to be those guys? But anyways, the world is my country, and I've learned that. Now don't misunderstand me here, I don't say only God bless America, but I say God bless the whole world. Everybody. The world is my country. Everybody on this earth, aren't they our brothers and sisters? Hey, God bless them also. And the world is my country. So I'm continuing with the quote here. Maybe I should just read the whole quote so you guys get it. "The world is my country. All mankind are my brethren, and to do good is my religion." Close quote. That's by Thomas Paine. I love that, right? What a great life philosophy. Look, the whole world is my country. I believe it was Socrates who said that I'm not just a citizen of Rome, I'm a citizen of the world. And I love that idea. Love that idea that, like, I'm a part of the human race here. The whole world is my country. And all mankind are my brother, not just this select few people who are just like me. No, but it's the whole world. All mankind are my brother, and to do good is my religion. And we all come from different religions and backgrounds and beliefs, but isn't it to do good at the end of the day? Isn't doing good my religion? Because I can talk about religion all day, and I can go to church, and I can do all these things, but if I'm not living it, if I'm not doing it, and especially coming back to Oscar Wilde, if I'm not doing good, even towards people, and especially towards people who I personally dislike, then my own morality and my own spirituality and my own values are actually pretty weak. So my challenge for you and for me is to raise that level of morality, that not just to people who do good to us and who are easy to get along with and who are like us, but to people we dislike, that we treat them well. and we have a high level of morality and goodness, and that our religion, so to speak, is to do good. That's how we worship, so to speak. That's how we worship in life, is by genuinely doing good for the right reason, right? And making a difference in the world and being a force for good, so it never happens again on our watch that anywhere within our circle of influence, that kind of the kind of atrocities that were committed during that war and during other genocides and other wars that have been happening since since the history of the world and are still happening in our day, you guys. In every kind of way, it's still happening. It's happening all around us. People are being persecuted and hated and mocked and ridiculed. And you and I believe, have a moral obligation to raise a voice to become a great force for good. So let's get out and do it. Because no matter what's going on, awesome is always an option. Reach upward. Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to this episode. I hope you got a lot of value out of it and found some things that you can apply to your life right away. Hey, I'm being totally sincere when I say I live to help you live your extraordinary life. So I hope you'll reach out to me if you have any questions or let me know how I can help you in any important area of your life. And in fact, you know, this podcast is brought to you by the School of Awesome Sauce monthly coaching program. Take advantage of that. Get in there. If it's the best way to get a breakthrough to the next level so you can level up your health, your spirituality, your emotions, your mind, your relationships, your finances, business, every part of your life. Just get in there where you have a coach and a mentor. You have a supportive community to make things happen. So jump in there. Take advantage of this. Try it out. Get in there with us and level up your life. See you on the inside. Reach upward.